Welcome to 20 Minutes and Two Beers In, everybody. I am Bobby.
I am JD. It's kind of weird to do it reversed there. Like, usually, welcome to 20 Minutes and Two Beers. See, I still can't even start a show without doing it.
You had to steal my thunder, didn't you?
I did. Before this show started, folks, what episode is this?
I get to introduce the episode?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is our season 4, episode 12, JD, 168 overall, 168 episodes in.
168.
That's a lot of beer.
And we're not in the same room this time, but we're connected on the Skype line.
Yep.
And before I connected, I'm at home, Bobby's in the studio. Before I connected with Bobby, I had been watching The Good Wife with my wife. I don't know if any of you are familiar with The Good Wife. Some big shiznit went down. One of the main characters got shot. The episode we're watching is the episode just immediately after the character dies, right?
Okay. So that's Josh Charles, right? Josh Charles,
yeah, okay. From Sports Night.
Yep.
So it's hard to, like, do that episode without, like, everybody's crying in the episode. There's nothing more to bring you down than watching this episode. So I'm like, all right, time to go make a happy, fun podcast.
so what are you doing? What are you doing to make it right?
I am drinking Legend Brown Ale. I believe you had this last time, Bobby, or...
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Really good beer. Nice, crisp, dark German beer. What do you got?
I have the Deschutes Brewery Black Butte Porter from Bend, Oregon. I think we've had this on the show before. It's the Black Butte Porter. It's a good porter. Got a lot of flavor to it. Oregon always spitting out good beers out there in Oregon.
Do you want beer that's been spit out, though? Well, I mean, that's usually not...
I mean, can it rival beard beer or
brain beer?
Brain
like
beer,
about last week
spit out beer. Pack. No, this is a good one. This is a very good porter. As you know, I've been going with the dark beers lately, and yeah, this is right in my wheelhouse.
Is this? I mean, as we enter towards spring, you usually go lighter beers, something with, you know, a little more, you know, bite to it. Maybe IPAs, yeah. or whatever. Is there a reason? Are you cleaning out your winter fridge?
No, actually, I did not even get this. My wife got it, and it was in the fridge. She knows where I'm going with this. I think the winter weather, JD, I'm still a little cold where I'm sitting in the studio, and I'm not ready yet for my summertime beers. I've had a couple, but the porter's where I'm at, buddy. Mentally, physically. I'm in a dark place because you know why?
Because you watched The Good Wife?
Will Gardner's dead. Will Gardner's gone.
Yeah. No, I tell you what. I try not to watch it. You know, you're in a relationship. There's some shows you like that your wife may not like.
Yeah.
Or your girlfriend may not like. Or your spouse may not like. And there's shows you watch together. Now, we have a litany of shows we watch together. There's others, like she watches like Revenge on her own.
Okay.
I watch Archer. So, kind of shows you she's probably a little more highbrow than I am when it comes to TV shows.
And she watches Rizzoli and Isles to appease you, right? Is that how it works?
Well, yeah, of course. The Rizzin is, man.
The Rizzin is.
But speaking of shows, there's one that drew the ire of a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we're going to briefly talk about that tonight with the How I Met Your Mother finale.
I don't think there's going to be anything brief about it.
No. Well,
I think there's a point-counterpoint in this, and it's going to get heated.
And we'll have a very unique and different take on this.
Okay.
Than you may have heard already. So we not only have that, but we also, every now and then, over the last 4 years, we've talked office pranks. We've talked just... General pranks.
he did a salute there for everybody who's watching at home.
Well, you know, people who are following us on the Ocho. But we're going to talk about some great pranks that have been found on the internet.
Yeah, April Fool's was this week, and hopefully you out there got to pull some great pranks. We know the internet had its share, and a lot of people believed a ton of these, which is what makes them so great.
So, yeah, we're going to tackle those. We're going to tackle some great music. Both of us are very excited about music. And I will say, and you can disagree with me if you want to, Bobby, and I'm sure you will. I feel like this week was a great week for music.
It was I think it was a tremendous week. It was one of the first weeks this year. I'm going to say this year. That a ton of albums came out that I thought were interesting. Like, I got to listen to a couple, like, this track off this one. I got to listen to this album. Got to hear this guy's guest. There were a lot of compilations out that came out, too, that were phenomenal. Oh,
yes, there was. Yes, there was, Bobby.
You're, like, dancing right now.
And I didn't bring it, and I know it's going to disappoint our listener, Cliff, but there's a tribute album to Ronnie James Dio out today.
There is.
And it's good. Tenacious D does a song.
Yeah.
Rainbow in the Dark's on there. Metallica has a really good song on it.
Yeah.
Anthrax is on it. Corey from Slipknot does a song. Top to bottom, I really enjoyed it. I don't think it's something I'm going to bring to the show, but I really enjoyed it.
Interesting. Well, with your excitement, I'm personally very excited to play my song now that I know how excited you are about a Ronnie James Dio tribute album. I know you're gonna love my track.
Oh good lord. All right, folks, we have an awesome podcast for you. Yeah, it's Legend. Wait for it. I'm not afraid to turn around to see you by my side. Hey, I felt pretty when they turned out the light. I didn't know Bobby, How I Met Your Mother is over.
Nine seasons.
I've watched every bit. Yeah. Have you watched every episode?
Yeah, I jumped in. I jumped in about halfway through, maybe season three. But I've seen seasons one and two since. I've caught up on that. Sure. But yeah, I mean, this past season, it was a march to this finale. Well, you had to work at getting to this finale.
The last three seasons really have been plodding through the mud uphill to get to this season. But I really like the show, and after 9 years, it's hard not to get invested in the characters.
Yeah.
Robin Scherbatsky's hot.
She in your top five?
Top five. But the finale was here, and my wife and I sat down watching it, watched it, and then it got done, and we looked at each other, and we're like, that was good. That's how it should have ended.
Yeah, that's...
It really is. You know, it went through a lot in the last episode. They sped through the rest of their lives, which, I mean, it's a 9-year span we've already had. We got to know what happens to these characters.
Yeah, moving down the line.
Exactly. It reminds me a little bit of Mad About You, how they did that.
Yeah.
And they threw people for a loop. People weren't happy with the finale of Mad About You because they got divorced in it. And it got a little more serious than that show was used to. But this, I thought it nailed it. I mean, there was funny moments. There was emotional moments. We all knew he was going to end up with Robin.
I did not.
What?
No, I didn't. I
you
thought he would like, end up
the
with
feeling,
the...
You didn't pick up on the hints all along?
Oh, well, I thought it was just... looking back, you're like... I was looking at it this season especially when he's at the wedding. Robin is wanting to leave at the very last moment and run off with Ted. You're like, this is getting really obscene. Like, there is smashing us over the face with the Robin and Ted relationship. But you spent an entire season building us up about why Robin and Barney is so great. I mean, you spent an entire season on that.
Yeah, doing a little juke there. Just doing a little juke. That's what you got to do. Keep people on their toes.
Here's what I want to say, JD. I want to talk about where I think it lays compared to, I'm going to say, some contemporaries, okay? The main contemporary of How I Met Your Mother, I would probably say, is Friends. It followed Friends. It started right at the same time. I mean, Friends ended in 2004. That's right when How I Met Your Mother was getting going. And if you're looking at comedy finales and how shows have been written, I think it's Friends and The Office would be contemporaries because of how long those shows lasted. They did have seasons. No, it's not equal to Seinfeld. Seinfeld is on a whole other spectrum of TV.
Okay. I mean, it was a long running comedy.
The greatness of Seinfeld. There was never a weak season. There might have been a weak series finale, but there was never a weak season. There were weak seasons of Friends. There were weak seasons of The Office. The Office probably is one of those that it should have ended 3 to 4 seasons earlier than it did.
Yes.
But I looked at parts about those. Friends and The Office both had good series finales, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Why do you go high-pitched on me on that one?
I was never a big Friends fan.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I just didn't buy into the characters that much.
Okay. The Office series finale was a good series finale.
It really was.
Okay. So you look at those shows, and there's a similar model. Like, there's a model for a series finale that is apparent. And How I Met Your Mother followed that. I'm going to say it followed it. And you're going to argue with me because I did not like the How I Met Your Mother series finale. No, not at all. I liked, and I'll get to that. But I want to go through this with you, and I want you to think about this too. And all you listeners at home, put on your listening ears, and listen as
your other ears.
As opposed to your talking ears. We don't want your talking ears. We want listening ears. There's always a twist, right?
Yes.
And in Friends, there was Monica and Chandler had twins. Oh my gosh, it's twins. It's not just one baby. In The Office, you have Jim and Pam moving to Austin. They end up leaving, surprising people. There's flashbacks or moments where you think back on the great times they had or great moments they had. In Friends, you had the foosball table breaking, and you had the duck and the chick as a big part of the episode. In The Office, you had Jim putting up surprises for Dwight, like pranks, but they're actually good pranks. And also, you have the return of Michael Scott at the wedding. He comes in. So there's that. It tugs at the heartstrings. You have the drama or suspense. In Friends, you had the wrong airport. They go to the wrong airport. In The Office, Pam gets, annihilated by a bunch of the fans at the panel. So you're like, what's going to happen with them? You know, something, there's clearly a problem here. And then you get closure. You end on closure. Ross and Rachel get together. Everybody's happy and friends at the end of it. Everybody has their unique storylines that have come to a conclusion.
Yeah.
The Office, you have a mural done of the branch. You have a photo with everybody, including the cast and crew. And you have them ending with a sing-along in The Office, and then they walk out and Pam turns off the lights. Like, that's closure. How I Met Your Mother did the same thing.
Yep.
That's what you need. You need that for a series finale. You need twists to keep your audience interested. You don't want it to be predictable. You need a little toss back to great moments in the show. So, you go back to the vintage stuff. You have drama or suspense, and then you have closure. In How I Met Your Mother, you had the twist, which was 5 minutes in. Robin and Barney get a divorce. Yep. Boom. There's a twist. There's a second twist. Barney has a baby. And then the last twist, which is the mom is dead. You have three twists in there. You have memories, which I loved. I will say, Robots versus Wrestlers, great job. You brought that back. That was a brilliant moment of it when it flashes forward. They did. I liked the bringing back of Jim Nance, even though I thought it was a little hokey, the 31 for 31. But I thought bringing back Jim Nance, that was funny. You had a lot of stuff at McLaren's, like the part where Marshall turns around to the other guys and says, you guys know what happened here. Just a lot of great stuff. And that was a moment that I think every fan could reflect on. Yeah, think about all the great moments they had at McLaren's, what it meant to them. You had drama or suspense with the mom getting sick. And then you have closure. You have Marshall becomes a judge, and he could be Judge Supreme. You have Barney, who has something in his life. He has the baby as a part of his life. You have Robin and Ted going out. There's nothing really for Lily and Robin. There is no closure. Like, Lily and Robin ended kind of on... I mean, she showed up for the wedding, but there was that moment at the Halloween party. I liked the Halloween party toss back, yeah, too. That was good. But here's why I didn't like the show. It has everything that's in the formula.
It has everything you need.
There's a lot of faults with that. All right?
What? No.
You have character regression, which Barney and Robin, you had an entire season building them up, changing them as people, evolving them, and you return them to square one, where Robin is the same isolated person and cold and just looking into her career. That's what that's how the series started. Barney goes back to the same thing as before. So they all fell back.
They were never good together anyway.
But, okay, so why do you have an entire season built around why they're amazing together?
Because for the big switcheroo reveal, it makes it more exciting.
It doesn't make it more exciting because here's what your switcheroo reveal was. They're divorced 5 minutes in, and you know what? Despite Robin being married to his best friend, he's going to go and run to Robin after that.
Yeah, you know it wasn't going to work with those two anyway.
You had a feeling it couldn't, just based on, I think, throughout the series, how it was going. It wasn't
even throughout this season when they're having all these doubts on their wedding day.
Sure.
I mean, there's one thing with Cold Feet. So that was expected.
Yeah, that's a fine twist.
Yeah.
If you want to go with that, that's an okay, that's a good twist to do. And that
I knew the mother was going to die.
I didn't know the mother was going to die.
Because that's been out there for a little bit.
I didn't. I stayed away from spoilers and all that jazz on the show.
It was speculation, but even still, it didn't bother me because, like, he found his love. It wasn't, you know, forever, per se, for the show, but at the same point in time, it was never about the mother.
The show's called How I Met Your Mother. It was the basic the
was premise.
The premise of the show was built around telling you how he met this great love. Okay, the premise of the show is we're going to build him up through 9 seasons of heartbreak and hope and a cycle coming back. Coming back. Hold on.
No.
It's showing him building up to be the man that he needed to be. That's what it was. And
after season one, we were all sick and tired of the whole, you know, where's the mother? Nobody cared after that point. It was all about the relationship of these friends. That's what it was all about.
The relationship about the friends is good, but it was trying to build him. The stories, what you have from 1 through 9 season up until this episode, the way you thought this was, is this is the journey of how he became the person that met the mom. I mean, we even had an episode where he runs forward to her apartment. He's like, I didn't meet her till 5 months later, but this is what I wanted to do, which is he runs to the apartment. You don't know me, but I want to spend every single moment I can with you. Okay.
Right.
Then you end the series by tearing that away and saying, maybe she wasn't the great love of his life. Robin was the great love of his life.
No. She was the great love of his life, and they had a great life together, had the kids, and, you know, she got sick, died, life moves on. That's the point, is Ted finally is able to move on with his life, and he's never just, because he would always get paralyzed and stuck. He's a flawed character. Ted is.
Mm-hmm.
And through it, you learn he's never meant for true happiness, per se. There's always going to be something, doom and gloom, holding over his head.
He's a Charlie Brown, as it were.
I'm talking about a show I enjoy. But I'm in the minority here, I think, Bobby.
You probably are.
Just because you read, people were outraged.
Sure.
You know, here's some tweets. Seriously, the mother dies and he goes after Robin? GD it, Ted. Nope. Worse any ever. Blue French horn or not, what a letdown. Someone else wrote, I wasted 9 years of my life for that. I'm sorry, but that was the worst way to ever possibly end a show. Somebody said, I feel like I got slapped in the face by a TV show. Nice reference to Slapsgiving. And it goes on and on and on. And we have some friends of ours who were just so fired up on the social network.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, here's
the deal. You love stuff. You may not like it, but this is a free television program. You're on no obligation to watch whatsoever. It's free entertainment to you. You didn't pay a dime for it, for one. So don't feel cheated. You're the one who chose to invest the time. You know, it may not turn out the way you wanted. Well, yeah, so what?
I think the good part, if you look at the show, there's going to be people that say, was it good or was it not good? That's debatable. You can debate whether or not you liked it or not. Was it a success? Absolutely. And I think a success would be people are talking about it. It's going to be a finale that people remember for a long time and talk about for a long time. When people compare other finales, they're always going to look back at this one. And that's what you want to do. You want to leave a legacy with your show. They left a legacy. They left something that people are still talking about, are going to be talking about for a little bit. And the next time another series finale of a well-loved show comes along, people are going to reflect back on the How I Met Your Mother series finale.
And be...
So as much as I don't like it...
Right. Here's another thing. Be happy you got to see a season finale. How many great shows that we loved, they never had a chance to have a season finale?
Yeah.
Sports Night.
Yeah, dude, absolutely.
I mean, that's a big one for me. But I can tell you had something. Go ahead.
I do. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to let you get to your music in just a second because you're gonna bring us up with your music selection. But I want to say this, JD. Here is something you cannot argue with as a reason why it could be thought of as a bad series finale. Okay? So we had to watch an episode this season that is completely negated by the last moment of the show. The last moment of the show, he goes back to Aunt Robin, and they're like, you're in love with Aunt Robin. You're clearly in love with Aunt Robin. Okay, turns out he is in love with Aunt Robin. There was always something that stayed with him. Apparently something stayed with him about Aunt Robin. You know what that means? We really didn't need Aunt Robin flying up to heaven in that one episode. Why did you do that to us?
This episode or this season and the last couple seasons were bad. That was the worst episode ever. And I mean, that was worse than Fonzie jumping a shark.
Yeah.
I mean, that was horrible. God. So I will give you that. Maybe they just negated that.
Yeah.
And they're like, we realize we made a mistake, guys. And here's one thing that many may not know. This was decided in season one. This is how the show was ending.
Yeah.
In season one, they filmed it with the kids, and sure, and this is how it ended. So don't be like, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that. It was always supposed to end this way.
Yeah, it wasn't something they tried to do cute at the last minute. It was something that was thought out.
Wow, we've really gone off on this. But my last bit of it is this. You love the show. You will always love the show. You'll love it in syndication, and you will never see the finale in syndication because it wasn't an hour. The show's a half hour syndicated, and you won't see the whole finale in syndication. So there you go. There you go. Bobby, time for my music and a band that you played, and I probably mocked you when you played it for the name, but the album came out, Manchester Orchestra. You played the lead single from it, which is good. I've been listening to this over and over again the last couple of days. The song I'm playing is Every Stone. Before you play that, Bobby, everybody give a listen to the album and also listen to another track on it called All I Really Wanted. But I'm going to go with a little more rockin' in Every Stone.
Just to leave them all. If you don't give anyone
Bobby, I love a good joke.
Don't we all?
You're kind of looking at me like, where are you going with this? I love April Fool's jokes.
Yeah, and
I don't normally play them, but I enjoy watching them being played on others.
You watch them unfold? You're a voyeur. You're a joke voyeur, as it were.
Wow. That sounds pervy.
It sounds a little dirty. But you are a little dirty, so I think it fits. Wow. I love every year looking to see what Google's going to do, because Google always does something brilliant.
I've never noticed. What are some of the things that Google's done? I've never really noticed.
Oh, they always do something to your email. They always did, like in years past, they've done the post-dated email. So you can like send out emails with different dates on them. Like you can send a message from the future, stuff like that. And this year was no different. They did Google Naps, which is like the Google Maps app, but it'll tell you areas near you which are good for napping. I love that. And they did Google Chrome did one where it'll translate everything to emoji, which is the, you know, emoticons. So everything, if you turn it on, everything in your browser will just be emoticons. They don't actually do it, but they say this is something you can do, and they always have videos that are really funny. But Google did that with every one of their products this year. But a lot of companies are getting in on it, and there were some great ones this year. Did you see any great ones this year, JD?
I did, and we kind of shared some back and forth a little bit. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, great cereal. Right?
Yeah, one of my favorites.
They sent out a tweet introducing a new cereal, introducing Grilled Cheese Toast Crunch. It just looks brutal.
Oh, I love that. The idea of that, whoever came up with, we're going to do Grilled Cheese Toast Crunch and throw that on our Twitter feed. Mwah. Brilliant. Excellent job. Because I just want to see the person who looks at that and thinks of it as a real thing. Either they're like incredibly disgusted or they're like, huh, that could be really good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to pour some tomato soup on that.
Well, I guess Jimmy Kimmel did one. He introduced a product, Lululemon Pledge.
Which was the spray-on yoga pants?
Yep, yep.
A lot of pervs out there, too, probably interested in that product.
Yeah, and did you see any good ones?
Bacon M&Ms by M&Ms. The fact that they probably pitched that as an April Fool's joke, and then somebody had to have been like, maybe we should actually do bacon M&Ms. But they put on their, I think it's at Red M&M Twitter feed, that they're introducing bacon M&Ms. That was theirs. Chili's put out baby back chunk ice cream, which would be, they're saying it was baby back ribs and ice cream. Captain Morgan has a new flavor of rum. It's taco flavored rum.
I saw that Sam Adams had helium beer.
Yeah, the helium the helium beer. RyanSeacrest.com. They did an NSYNC reunion. They said NSYNC's coming together again. They're going to do a tour in 2015 and do two new songs. That probably fooled a lot of people. Got a lot of people excited.
I saw one. Friends, we mentioned it earlier, is having a 10-year reboot, 10-year reunion show.
Oh.
That got some friends of mine. They jumped all over that.
Funny or Die got in on it with the band The Flaming Lips, and they kind of built up to this over the past week, saying that they were going to do a companion to The Dark Side of the Moon. They said it's called Flaming Side of the Moon, and it'll be meant to sync up to play simultaneously with The Dark Side of the Moon album and Wizard of Oz. So if you play all three at the same time, they'll all sync up. Flaming Lips said that they had done that for April Fool's. That was a good one.
Yeah, Disney put out a sign for 103-acre wood. The 100-acre woods is now 103 Christopher Robin land holdings increased by 130,000 square feet. That one kind of made me laugh. One that I thought would be awesome. Nerf put out one with this ball, and it shoots out in every direction, these Nerf darts. 80 Nerf darts in every direction. and this is a new product. And I'm like, I would want that product, actually.
Virgin America, they put out that they were going to have climate controls for every single seat. So your seat, you can control it whatever temperature you want it to be.
Nice. The Panda Express. I love a little Panda Express every now and then. They put out a beef and broccoli and orange chicken milkshake.
Oh.
So, yeah, that one looked pretty brutal.
Going along that theme, Torchy's Tacos put together tacos whipped in a cup. So it was taco-like smoothies they were going to sell at their stores.
You can get a flux capacitor car charger.
You know, another one where a lot of people were probably like, ooh, why don't they actually do that?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Vegemite, the you know Vegemite, the Australian food, they said they were having their first energy drink, Vegemite iDrink 2.0, which was an energy drink made by Vegemite, which would be terrible.
Oh, man. I saw a shakeless Tic Tacs. They don't make noise when you shake them.
And my last one, JD, but my absolute favorite one, CERN, which is they have the Large Hadron Collider over in Europe. I mean, serious scientists. They said that CERN, their website, was switching exclusively to the Comic Sans font. And is and that was just brilliant, their entire website, which you think of a scientific community, and they change everything to a Comic Sans font. It was awesome.
That is awesome. There's a lot of great things, and I love that brands are getting into it now. So flex their creativity, and those really good ones like the grilled cheese crunch, it made me think about Cinnamon Toast Crunch and made me want some. So kudos to you, Kellogg's, or whoever produces you. Kudos to you. So what do you got for music, Bob?
JD, you're going to be very excited about my track because I did choose a Ronnie James Dio tribute song.
Seriously?
I did. I liked the album so much, I decided that this week we're going to play the Tenacious D song put on.
It's really good.
It's a very good song. You should check out. Everybody, you should go on Spotify or your fist pumping right now or whatever music.
Part of it is because I couldn't be more proud of you right now.
There's a tear in your eye, isn't there?
Awesome. It's awesome. And, you know, at first I'm like, because I played the Manchester Orchestra, I'm like, you know what? People are really going to dig this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I won up Bobby. Because a lot of times people may like your music more than mine because I'm more of a rock fan. But, wow.
Yeah.
You brought it.
I'm not messing around this week. The song is called...
Yeah, I'm proud of you, buddy.
The Last in Line. It's off the Ronnie James Dio tribute. This is Tenacious D.
We're a ship without a storm. The cold without the warm. Light inside the darkness that it needs, yeah. We're a laugh without a tear, the hope without the fear. We are coming.
Thank you for bringing some Tenacious D and Ronnie James Dio Again, this is the proudest moment I've had in 168 episodes. Wow. You've brought some bad crap over the years.
Just, yeah, thank you. But after last week, I figured I owed you something.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's time for our six-pack. Before that, we need music, and we should start it
now. That was brilliant, buddy.
We're never on sync there. I'm going first because you're winning our bet for the NCAA tournament, and chances are you've got it wrapped up, but it's not over till the fat lady sings.
And the fat lady is starting to sing. But go ahead with your first question, my man.
Marquette hired Wojciechowski from Duke.
Wojo.
Is this a good move for Wojo?
Yeah, I think Marquette's a good program for him to be going to. They've been doing some good things over the past few years. He needed to move away from Duke. It was time. I mean, Krzyzewski said, I'm going to coach for at least 5 more years. Wojo's been there for a long time. It's time for him to grow up, move into that next job. He's still a young man, so he's a young coach. This is a great place for him to start at, and he can only go up from there. JD, what does Tiger's injury mean for the Masters? He's had to have back surgery again, and he's missing the Masters.
I think a couple years ago it would have meant the viewing would drop considerably, but he really hasn't been there in those majors lately. So as long as it's competitive, I think the viewership is going to be there. The Masters is a tournament that people tune into because they're excited for spring. It makes them think spring is when you hear Jim Nance talking, hello, friends. That just gets people geared up. I think it's a loss whenever you don't have the biggest name in the sport there. But as long as it's competitive, I think you'll be all right. Bobby, we talked earlier how The Good Wife killed off major character Will Gardner. And people shocked. You can pick a show and pick off one of its main characters. You know, a beloved show because a lot of people love this show. What would it be for you?
Can we just wipe out the entire cast of 2 1/2 Men? Can I do that?
I said beloved show.
Well played there, sir. Well played. Oh, man. If I could eliminate somebody from a beloved show... Oh, boy. And they're gone forever, so they're not coming back. Is that what you're saying? Or I'm just killing them off for an episode a la Kenny in South Park.
D-E-D, dead.
Good spelling there, champ. Oh, man. Well, I'm not going to do anything too controversial. I don't want to go the Family Guy route and kill off Brian and piss everybody off.
But he wasn't dead, so...
Well, yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and kill Meg because she doesn't really matter, right? Nobody cares about Meg.
Well, you're going to kill a Family Guy character. All right. You can do what you want to do. There you go.
No, actually, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not. That was a lame attempt at a joke, JD. Because Will Gardner's dead, and we need to take a moment to just think about that. No, in The Simpsons, I'm going to have Abe Simpson finally die. We're going to move the show along by having Abe Simpson go.
Not necessarily a main character, but okay.
Not necessarily, but it's something that pushes the show in a different direction. JD.
Yeah.
Les Grobstein, I don't know if you've heard about this. He's the Scores overnight man. He's terrible. It's kind of funny to listen to him. I've heard him at the wee hours of 2 or 3 in the morning talking on The Score. Anyways, he got some play. He made some national news recently because he pooped in the studio. He had himself an accident and then fled the studio after his shift. Which got then on the morning show. The morning show guys were talking about it. Mully and Hanley were talking about it, and it got picked up by Deadspin. Kind of went all over the place. So JD, I want to know, what's the worst thing that you've done in our studio?
I may have once.
I'm the only one in the studio right now too, so I'm a little nervous.
After
about this.
Enchilada day. I might have let gas out.
Might have let gas out. That's an every episode. We've had 168 occurrences of that.
Yeah. Well, I've changed diapers in the studio.
Okay. Your own or?
Well, depends.
There's there. I see what you're doing there. I see what you're doing there.
So I've been pretty good. The studio is sacred ground, so I take care of it for sure. Bobby, the next tribute album. We just talked about Ronnie James Dio's. I'm not saying the person has to be dead, but what is the next tribute album you'll be like, I want to hear what artists are going to do with this?
Oh, man. I could be a lame-o and say I want to hear a Joe Strummer tribute album. I really do want to hear a Joe Strummer tribute album, but I don't know how many other people want to hear that. I would love that. I'm going to say a tribute album that everybody should get a part of. I really loved it a couple years ago when Steel Train put out a brand new album, and a companion piece that they did with that was they had a female artist cover every... They had a different female artist cover every single track of their Steel Train album. So okay. They put out... If you pre-ordered it, you got the new album, and you got the album of women singing their songs, doing different takes of their songs. It was phenomenal. Great idea and really good. So with this tribute album, I want to hear the band Bleachers, when they put out their album, which is Steel Train's frontman, I want to hear them do the same thing. Have a second album release that's tagged along with it that is all covers of it by female artists. That would be excellent. JD, last question for you. What kind of pain do you feel when you have to go to a store, purchase a beautiful bottle of whiskey, knowing it is not for you because I have won our NCAA bet, and the tournament's not even over yet, but I have sealed it?
It was painful, and it was painful on many different levels because I walked there.
That's a walk of shame.
Many blocks to get it, and I picked up the bottle, the Cody Road Mississippi River Distilling Company, Cody Road Bourbon. Whiskey looked amazing. I wanted it. So what did I do? I'm like, well, ooh, hey, they just released their new honey infused whiskey. I will buy JD a bottle of that. It eased the pain, but the pain is still there. If we were able to record in the studio tonight together, I was going to bring it, and I was not going to bring anything else. We were just going to drink that.
Partake in, yeah.
So we'll have to possibly do that next time.
Sure.
Because it is amazing whiskey. It sucks. It hurts. The pain is deep. It cuts deep, Bobby.
That makes me so happy to hear. So, JD, I'm glad I did this to you. Causing pain, and just so you know, Will Gardner's still dead, so you've got double
still
pay
dead
now. When we come back, JD, last call, one stop away.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time.
JD, my beloved Indiana University offers courses in the Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, I mean, phenomenal musicians. There's a class, I think there's a class out east that they teach on Beyonce.
Wow.
Yeah. There is now a class at Skidmore College, which is...
Skidmore.
Make all the jokes you want about their school name.
And nope. I will.
Yeah, their hats are tremendous. A private liberal arts college in Saratoga Springs, New York, is offering a summer course on Miley Cyrus.
No.
It's called The Sociology of Miley Cyrus, Race, Class, Gender, and Media. They're going to be focusing on her and all her incarnations, so some Hannah Montana in there, as a way to study gender, race, class, fame, and power. The teacher is Carolyn Chernoff. She's a visiting assistant professor. Said she got the idea after teaching a course on youth culture that featured the video from the MTV Music Awards of her twerking. There will be no twerking in class, though. Twerking will not be offered
That's
in the classroom.
Horrible.
But Miley Cyrus, you can learn all you want. I know you bought a book on her. You bought a couple magazines, some Tiger Beat stuff to learn about.
I,
no?
I did not.
You did not? You're not following the Miley Cyrus?
Quick sidebar. What's the cheesiest class you ever took in college?
The cheesiest class I took.
Easiest, cheesiest, like that.
I took the history of video games. I think, and I only went like twice. And one of the times I went was because we watched the movie with Fred Savage, The Wizard, or what is it called? He has the power glove and his Nintendo. Yeah, that was the only like class I ever went to for that one.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. oh, you know, and how much was it per college credit?
No kidding. Now looking back on it, you're like, man, maybe I should have taken a better class than that.
Well, mine comes from Denmark. A travel company in Denmark is encouraging Danish couples to go on holiday. That's what they call vacation elsewhere.
Thank you for clearing that up.
You know, just
doing us a service.
Doing a service. But they want people to go on holiday and have sex. So the travel company is promoting that. Why? To increase the shrinking population in Denmark.
Wow.
The campaign is called Do It for Denmark. It's encouraging couples to travel and have sex because the statistics say that Danes have 46% more sex on holiday and 10% of babies are conceived while people are traveling. The birth rate in Denmark is at a 27-year low, and it is an effort to counteract the decline. Now, the company, Spiesrejser, is also offering an ovulation discount.
Oh, no.
Which will give people a discount if they can prove they had sex and got pregnant while on holiday. So you can go on vacation and get a huge discount if you can prove you got
a huge what?
Out.
I'm sorry, a huge what?
Discount.
Discount. Okay, make sure you pronounce that right.
Discount. Danes are looking to have children. Well, they should consider booking this on their holiday.
Wow.
Yeah, if you get a chance, go to, or just Google Do It for Denmark. Just Google it. And the video on it is great because it shows people like getting ready for holiday and then getting a little, you know, excited about the holiday and, you know, sneaking into the room, the door shuts type of thing. But it's like, what if you're, and it shows two old people sitting on a bench, have already done it for Denmark. Or, and then it shows two gay guys, can't really do it for Denmark. You know, just, you know, and that is like, you know, support others. And tell your friends to do it for Denmark. Yeah.
You know,
interesting.
The Danes could take a lesson from How I Met Your Mother. You know what they could do? The Naked Man. Maybe every Danish man tonight, do the Naked Man with your lady. See if it works. It's going to bump up the population.
Every 3 out of 4 times.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, it's been a fun podcast, even though Bobby was wrong about How I Met Your Mother, but he brought the rock, so that redeemed him.
Absolutely. So thank you, buddy.
It's been a fun show. We will see you next week. I'll never let go. You and I both are nothing but thieves. We take what... Well, it depends.
There's that. I see what you're doing there.